this week we want to take a look at verses 16 and 17. But before we do that, let's read this text in context. So if you're in 1 Peter chapter 3, follow me as I read verses 13 to 17 this morning. Verse 13, who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightful. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And then these are the two verses we're going to look at today. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed by their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If you and I make a commitment to maintain our testimony with gentleness and respect, we can be confident of living a life with a clear conscience. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you today have a clear conscience for the way you responded to life? Can you look at your spouse, your employer, your children, your friends, and know that this week you responded to everyone with gentleness and respect? The Greek word for conscience carries with it the idea of knowing oneself. Now everyone, Christian and unsaved alike, have a conscience. Paul wrote this. He said, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. And even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their heart, their consciences also bearing and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending. Yeah. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to verse 15. As Christians, our conscience should be much more directed to God than the unsaved person. But please understand this. Your conscience is not infallible. Your conscience is not the Holy Spirit. Yet, our consciences are controlled by our highest perceived standards. That's why it's so imperative that our standard is no lower than the Word of God. And every word in the Word of God. The more you and I memorize and apply the written word to God, of God, the more our conscience will live according to the written word. Let me say that again because some of you are writing this down. The more we memorize and apply the written word of God, the more our conscience will be living according to the written word of God. Now, as most of you know, we have memorization program going through KFC, Kids for Christ, and we've encouraged all the adults to become part of it. There's a memory list right out there on the table that you can pick up on your way out, and they're not difficult books. Matter of fact, Judy and I have memorized them, so the fact that I'm memorizing, you know they can't be difficult. And they're not deep theological verses, but they are still God's Word. My guess is, and I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is many of you adults are not involved in memorizing scripture or these scriptures with the kids. And it's not because we can't memorize, because we memorize many things. Phone numbers, directions, addresses, TV channels, radio channels. We memorize a lot of things. But often, we're not involved in scripture memory or Bible study because Satan has convinced our conscience we don't need it. Oh, now we all have many reasons why we're not involved. But for most of us, it's because we don't really believe that we really need those verses or that Bible study. Our conscience has been described as a... has been described as a window into our heart that lets in the light of God's truth. Yet, the more you and I persist in staying away from scripture memory, from our personal Bible studies, as well as group Bible studies, the better chance of that window becoming dirtier and dirtier until to the point where that light not even enter in. But as we study and memorize God's word, the better we know and understand the will of God, so that although not perfect, our conscience becomes more sensitive to what is right and what is wrong. Paul writes this, he says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God. What Paul's saying is, he says, I strive. It doesn't just happen. I have to work at it. I have to make a determination to make sure that I have a clear conscience. So if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you want to look at number one, benefit of a clear conscience. Benefit of a clear conscience. A, it helps us in difficult times. It helps in difficult times. When we know that we are doing, what we are doing is right before God, it empowers us to stand up during trying times. Inscribed on Martin Luther's monument at Worms, Germany, are his courageous words spoken before the church council on April 18, 1521. He said, here I stand. I can do no other. God, help me. Amen. Imagine standing before the whole established church. Yet Luther was able to do it because he knew that he was right before God. Secondly, it gives peace in difficult times. It gives peace in difficult times. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because you trust in you. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. While an uneasy conscience drains us, a good conscience gives us peace so that we can gives us peace within so that we can withstand the battle without. It also gives us confidence. When our conscience is clear, then we only fear God. And when we know we are in right relationship with Him, we can even sense the fear dissipate. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. It removes fear. Remove fear in difficult times. When our conscience is clear and we only fear God, and when we know we are in a right relationship with Him, this is when our fear is different. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do? Psalms 118 verse 6. Get those mixed up. See, was to have confidence because it prepares us. It prepares us because we have hung on to those deep truths of the faith. Then it means I keep joyful. For the Christian to maintain a clear conscience means that I have to address the sin in my life. that again. For the Christian to maintain a clear conscience, it requires that we deal with the known sin in our lives. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 to 9. When we keep short accounts with God, so that the light of God's word will continue to shine into the windows of our heart, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalms 119, verse 105. A clear conscience is the result of not only knowing, but obeying the word of God, which in turn reinforces our Christian testimony to a lost and spiritually dying world. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your command. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin. Psalms 119, verses 9 to 11. You know, I like to believe that I'm not a pessimistic person. But I truly believe that no matter who wins the election a week from Tuesday, America is not going to get any better than it is today. We are spiraling downward, and I see no stop for it until Christ returns. So I see our society lying more, accusing more, and attacking Christians more. So we need to be ready. And the way to get ready is to have that clear conscience before God. Now, remember, we're not the first God followers to face lies and false accusations. Remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Why did Joseph go to prison? He lied about it, right? How about Daniel in the lion's den? Why was Daniel in the lion's den? Because people lied about it. Then in the New Testament, you have Nero setting Rome on fire, and he blames who? The Christians, and what happens to them? Many of them are persecuted, burnt at the stake, and thrown in front of lions. Lies, lies. Yet today, those Christians, those followers of God, are rejoicing because they were able to withstand the lies and still live for God. Now see if this does not describe the society we're living in today. In those days, there was no sin in Israel. Now listen to this. Everyone did what was right. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. Sound familiar? Yeah. Sally could say that's happening not on the outside, not only on the outside of the wall, but it's happening on many churches on the inside as well. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet. Isaiah 5:20 and verse 21. Difficult times are coming, and we can't say that we have not been warned. Peter has not only warned us, he also told us how to prepare for it. He said this, we must love like Jesus does. Peter told us we needed to do that if we wanted to be ready for what was going to come. He said, secondly, we must develop deep relationships within this church because we will need one another's help and encouragement as never before. Thirdly, he said, we must fear God. We must fear God because if we fear God, we need not fear man. Peter says, this is how you prepare. You must love God like God loves. You must develop deep relationships within this church if you're going to make it. Then he said, we must fear God. And when people speak maliciously against our good behavior, we'll find ourselves not getting angst or upset because our consciences are clear. A clear conscience can respond and not react to abusive, insulting speech and false accusations. A person with a clear conscience does not have to defend themselves because they are in the right relationship with God. They know that God knows the truth, and that is fine with them. A clear conscience enables you to treat people with gentleness. A lot could happen. A lot of change could happen in our country these next few weeks or months. The freedom even to come together to worship like this, to preach against sin, to share your faith with an unsaved person might look very different a few months from now. But know this, God does not change. No matter who wins the election, God will still be seated on the throne. And God will use it for our good. And we know that in all things, even election, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now let's pause and just reading verse 7. Follow me as I read it again in 1 Peter chapter 2. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You know, if you've ever done any public speaking, or if you've ever preached, or if you've ever spoken before, a speaker will often review his major point so that the listener will remember what they've learned that particular day. Well, verse 17 is a summary of what Peter has already told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he said this in verse 15. He said, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolishness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. He's also reminding us of what he said in chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. He said this, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Through this you were called, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you what? What? An example, why? So that you should follow his path. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Stand with me if you would. Let's read this passage again this morning as a reminder of how God wants us to live our lives. Not only today, not only after the election, but for the rest of our lives here on earth. Let's read it together. Who is going to may be seated. And just before we close, we want to follow a directive from Jesus. He says we are to meet on a regular basis to remember Him. This morning, we're going to take a moment and just think about, well, let me just say this before I say that. This is our thought to go this morning. It's an old French proverb that says, there is no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. This morning, as we close, we want to think back on what Jesus did for us.